Good morning. So glad that you're here with us this morning. If you are online or on the phone, we are so glad that you're with us. We are First Baptist Church of Welcome, and I am Pastor Mark here in beautiful downtown Welcome, Maryland, the metropolis of Western Maryland, or something. Our focal passage of Scripture today will be in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. This is the last week in our four-week series on the anchor. And I hope that it's been a helpful series for you. It's all built around a single verse of the Bible in Hebrews 6:19, where it says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." The first week we talked about the anchor itself and who that anchor is for us, which of course is our anchor is Christ. That's where our hope is. That's who is our keeps us secure, keeps us from drifting at least too far away, right? The second week we talked about what are we holding on to? What things, what people do we put our hope and our faith in that other than Christ? Then what should we do when we do that? And then last week, our message was on about the storms that come. And the storms always come. We've talked every week that an anchor is an amazing invention that's been used by fishermen and sailors for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And the basic concept of an anchor is that it's a device normally made of metal used to secure a vessel to the bed of a body of water to prevent a craft from drifting due to wind or current. We've talked about how an anchor is simple in its design, but it's powerful in its function. And as believers, we are encouraged to remain steadfast, to remain committed in our faith through every trial and every storm that life brings. Now, you may remember from last week that it's not a matter of if the storms will come, but when those storms come. And when they come, you need to be prepared. We need to want to have a firm grip on that anchor that is Jesus Christ. And today we're going to talk more about maintaining that grip throughout our lives. The Bible uses words like perseverance and steadfastness to describe our enduring faith. But there's another word that I want to add to that vocabulary today, and that's the word remain. To remain is to what? To stay, right? In our fast-paced, ever-changing culture, it's become more and more difficult for us to remain, for us not to go adrift. It's harder for us to hunker down for that long haul. And whether that's relationships or jobs or even a house. We're a culture that's constantly on the move. We're from one thing to another, and a lot of us become blinded by the things of the world, don't we? We like those nice, shiny things. Or a lot of us just get tired of the old things and want something nice and shiny, right? But whatever the case is, that's not how our faith should work. In fact, God calls us to remain, to hold fast, to root ourselves in our faith and in our righteousness. And brothers and sisters, His invitation is forever. It's not just for a little while. One of the premises of this series is that the only firm and secure anchor for our life is Christ. He's the one that'll hold through any trial, through every storm. And there's going to be other anchors that we hold on to. But beloved, eventually they all give way. They all fail. So we have to learn to hold on. Sometimes for dear life, right? Sometimes those storms are just so overwhelming. But we have to learn how to hold on fast. We have to learn how to remain. So let's read our focal passage of Scripture this morning in John 15, verses 5 through 8. Where God's word says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. This passage is important for those who believe in Jesus. Jesus actually says, apart from me, you can't do anything. But what does that mean? What are the ramifications of all of that? Is it worth it to gain the whole world but lose my soul? What are you holding on to? What is your anchor of your life, of your soul? I recently read an article about a creative way that the African Bushmen find water. It said, when water is scarce, an African Bushman have created a way to find new sources for it. They might not know where the water is, but often the local animals do. But you can't just ask an animal for directions. You have to be a bit more clever. First, the Bushman puts a block of salt in a hole, and they wait. Turns out that baboons love salt. And with enough time, one of these beautiful primates will come and try to grab the block of salt from the hole. The baboon goes to stick their hand in to grab the salt, but the salt makes his hand bigger, like this, trapping his hand in the hole. Now, to escape, all the baboon has to do is let go of the block of salt. But they don't do that. So they stay stuck until the bushman comes around, grabs them up, and puts them in a cage. Once they're in the cage, the bushman gives them all the salt they want. Salt, of course, makes the baboon thirsty. Once it's thirsty enough, the bushman releases the baboon and follows it to the water. Then the baboon gets to drink, and so do the bushmen. Now, besides being an inventive way to find the water, we're asking ourselves, well, why? Why doesn't a baboon just drop the salt? Isn't that a question we all should ask ourselves? See, if he drops the salt, then he can't take it with him, right? He can't have it. That's our nature, isn't it? Isn't that our nature? You see, it's not the baboon that falls for the trap, but we as humans fall for the same trap of the world. We see something that we want, and we're going to hold on to it, despite the cost of what it is to ourselves. Whether it's material worth, whether it's status, whether it's prestige, whether it's that shiny new truck that you might want. We just want to grab it. We're not going to let it go, whatever it takes. There are a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that we hold on to even though they potentially make us miserable. And what we don't realize most of the time is that letting go takes a lot more courage than holding on. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. Why don't we all just let go of that proverbial salt block in our lives and grab a hold of Christ? John 15:8 reminds us that this is all to the glory of the Father. All is holding tight to Christ and asking the Father for things that we need. It all brings Him glory. It brings Him pleasure to take care of His creatures, His creation, to us. He wants to take care of us. And it makes sense because as any father knows, as any mother knows, it's an absolute delight to see our kids healthy and happy and prospering, isn't it? And that brings us to our first point today. That He loved first. God loved first. That's one of the most amazing things about the love of God for His creation is that He loved us first. Before we could ever reciprocate that love, before our relationship with Him, before we could permanently be restored, He loved. Don't you love that? In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That's love. Before the beginning of time, He knew that we would need Him, that we would need a way to come to Christ, to God, and that we would need Jesus. And this passage gives us a clear explanation of how God loves. He sent His Son. Which, of course, that reiterates what John 3:16 says, right? God sent Jesus to sacrifice His love on behalf of mankind in order to restore our relationship with Him. That's the only way. And with that in mind, I just want you to think for a moment about how many relationships in your life where you love first, before there was any opportunity to have that love returned. For all those of you that are parents, before that child was born, you loved that child, right? You dreamed of the child. You talked to that child. Fathers, I know the mamas talk to them, but you go to that baby bump and you know you're sitting there talking to her, "Hey, this is Daddy. You know, we're going to have a lot of fun, right? We're going to get in trouble together." We love that child before they're born. Before we know anything else about them. Before we know that they would love us back. My point in all of this is to say that God loves you. He has a purpose and He has a plan for each of our lives. And He has a room in heaven waiting for us. That's what John 14 tells us. A proverbial seat at the heavenly banquet table was described in Matthew 22. He formed and knit us together in the womb. Psalm 139 verses 13 and 14. "For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I know that God made me. From the time that I was conceived to this very moment, that he put this mess together and continues to love me. Not only that, but he uniquely gifts us to do his work here in the church. Each one of us has a different gift. The community of living stones that he so carefully is putting together into that spiritual house, as it's called, as it's told in 1 Peter chapter 2. And what God is building, his church, not even the gates of hell can come against. Like Jesus describes in Matthew 16, 18. All of that to say, why would you ever let go of Christ? Why would you let go of Jesus? Why in our life in the storms is the first thing we let go is that? And we try to pick up something else. We try to grab a hold of somebody else. Somebody that doesn't have all the answers. Somebody that's far weaker than God that we put our trust in. Why wouldn't you want to remain with him forever and ever and ever and ever? Why? Well, it's because we're wandering sheep, which is our second point. We are prone to wander as humans. We're prone to be distracted by the worldly pleasures and practices. Anybody not get... Oh, squirrel. And then you do that. There's Jesus right there. Oh, what is that? We all do it, right? We're prone to forget, and we're prone to get disgruntled and frustrated because we're not focusing on Jesus. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We just tend to go our own way. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter how good a Christian you are. We tend to lose focus on the cross, don't we? We focus on something else in the world. We focus on the things that we'd like to do. You know, back in the late 60s and early 70s, there was that saying, if it feels good, do it. There's a lot of us that still have that mentality. We still want to do it, even though it's not right, even though it distracts us from him. Through the prophet Isaiah, God warns us that we all go astray. He goes his own way. The sin of selfish pride and independence runs through all of humanity. Brothers and sisters, it's been a thorn in our side from the very beginning. And the remedy for that is Christ. It's only Jesus. It's not Jesus and something else ever. It's just Jesus. The antidote is to let go of all of our independent pride, to get rid of all of that, and to grab a hold of that anchor of Christ who keeps us secure. He alone, brothers and sisters, is the firm and secure anchor of our souls. How many of us have a testimony that can tell us that story? The things that we have to let go of. Now, most of you know my story, or portions of it anyway. But the things that once I came to Christ, and when I did, it was later in life. But the things that I had to let go of, that I knew that I had to let go of in the world, were the things that drew me to the world, that kept me there, that kept me running the other way for a long time. And I know my weakness. Thank God he knows it too. Satan knows it too, though, brothers and sisters. But to know that I had to give up friends for years, because once I came to Christ, they didn't want to have anything to do with me. That I would give up things of the world because Christ is more important. See, we don't have the opportunity like the Dobries, who were blessed enough to be able to go to a third world country and see what they don't have and how much we have compared to them. Even the poorest of our poor are normally better off than their middle class is down there. And yet, we complain, and we cry, and we worry about the things that are around us as opposed to the thing that should be inside of us. We get distracted by the world, don't we? By the trappings of this world. Life is not about you. It's not. It's about him. And him shining out to the world. You belong to him. I belong to him. He has got to be our anchor. See, at some point in time, we all grow tired of wandering. We all grow tired of being bashed around by the seas of the world. At some point in time, we need to realize that God was there the whole time, waiting patiently for us. For some of us, the return. Just like that, the prodigal son and his father who ran down that road to greet him home after he'd lost everything that the father had given him. You see, God's desire is that we all would return to him. That we would come and realize our saving faith in him. Now, I can't pretend to understand how difficult your life has been. I can't pretend to know how deep your pain might be. For a lot of us, life has been hard enough for long enough that we've learned to get past those experiences where we trust anybody else. So we just trust ourselves, right? We've learned to rely on ourselves, on our own abilities. We've learned to live with our own weaknesses and limitations. After all, if I fail myself, right, I only have myself to blame. And for me, that sure feels a whole lot simpler than the other equations that are out there. I realize that asking you to let go of whatever you're holding on to that makes you feel safe, that isn't Christ, that getting you to hold on to Christ with everything that you're worth is like asking you to climb Mount Everest with no sleep and no training. it's going to seem impossible. It's so hard to let go of all of that stuff because it's, I got my hands on it, right? And to grab a hold of God who's there, but I can't hold. Or you don't think you can hold. Everybody turn to the person next to you and hold something and hold their hand for a second. Even if it's your husband or wife, hold your hand. I know you don't like to. That's God. Now, I'm not saying you're God, okay? So you guys don't get it complexes. But God has put that person in your life. Not on accident. Not, you know, it's not by luck. It's by his plan. What if God is telling us the truth? What if life with him, remaining in him, is the best option than anything that we've ever tried in this life? What if giving your life to Jesus meant having peace and rest and contentment? What if? At some point in between battles and running for his own life, King David wrote Psalm 23. I want to share the first few verses with you, verses 1 through 3, as you consider what life in Christ might look like. 23rd Psalm, verses 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." What if holding on to Jesus meant green pastures, still waters? What if it meant restoration? What if it meant an eternity of what Psalm 23 describes? Brothers and sisters, you understand it's not a what if, it is. It's a reality. It is what it is, what the Bible tells us it is. Beloved, it's time to let go of that proverbial salt today. Grab a hold of the only firm and secure anchor of our soul, and that is Jesus. For those of us that have been walking with Christ for a bit, have you let that hold go a little bit? Have you got comfortable being in church, being a Christian? Have you let it slip because, me and Jesus were like this, right? So I got some other things that I got to do around here, because if I don't do them, nobody's going to do them. You know, we do that in church too, by the way. We get so wrapped up in church stuff that we forget that Christ is part of that. It happens. But our lives get so filled with everything else that we get distracted and we don't hold on to that anchor. It slips through our hands. We get further and further away. And as I saw a sign, I think I had it out here one time, is that if God feels far away, who moved? It's time to let go of that salt, brothers and sisters. We have to learn to remain firm and steadfast in Christ. Because apart from him, we have no hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our firm and secure anchor. And we need him to keep on keeping on in this life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for trading your life for ours. Thank you for being faithful and true, for being our firm and secure anchor in the middle of every storm in our lives. And Lord, if we're not in a storm now, we know that one will come. I pray that you give us strength, that you give us courage to hold on to you no matter what. That our hearts, that our lives, that our very souls see you, feel you, know that you are with us even in the worst storms, even on the highest mountains, that you are with us now and always. Father, if there's someone here today whose life is blowing in the wind, if they're just being battered by their sins and by the world, Lord, that you might convict them today through your Spirit to grab a hold of Christ, to grab a hold of Jesus and hold on, to keep holding on. And Lord, that they might know that there's a little church in Welcome, Maryland that will come beside them, that would grab their hands to keep them on that anchor, to come beside them and love them, guide them, comfort them. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your love that did send your Son, our Jesus, to this world, that he might be our sacrifice, that his blood would wash away our sins, that his resurrection 3 days later would defeat death and give us a way to heaven with him and with you. We thank you. Lead us, Father. Guide us, Jesus. We pray all of this in that precious and holy name. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. All God's children said, amen. If you are fighting life, if you are flailing and set adrift and you just feel like you have no secure base, that the world is just beating you up, then maybe you don't have Christ in your life. Maybe you haven't grabbed a hold of him as the anchor of your life. Do it today. Give your life to Christ today. And you don't have to come up here to do that. You can do that sitting in the pew, because that's between you and him. But if you come up, then people cry. And we always like when people have happy tears, you know, when Christ comes, when people come to the Lord. You can see me after church. If you're online, you can pray. You can ask God to come into your life, to tell him that you're a sinner. Tell him that you know, that you need Jesus. And that Jesus is your only salvation. And you're saved. Let us know if that happens, that we might welcome you into the family of Christ. Do it today as the team comes and leads us.
Have you ever had a storm in your life that's what your prayer is? You know, keep me safe till the storm passes by. I think all of us have been there somewhere, somehow. How beautiful it is. Just like this illustration up here. This is what this. There's always a beautiful sky on the other side of a storm. But we have to have faith that we're going to get through that storm. The only way that we're going to do that is to have an anchor that holds. So that's your challenge this week. Do you have an anchor? So we spent 4 weeks talking about anchors. I can't assume that you have an anchor, because that's between you and God. So after 4 weeks, that's your challenge. Do you have that anchor? And if you don't, and you need help, call me. Talk to any brother and sister in Christ. They'll help you. We're all here to help if you are adrift, if you are getting beat up. We're here to be your family, to be a link in that chain to the anchor. That's your challenge. Can you do that? Be honest with yourself. Do you have that anchor? Can you do it? I think that you can. God bless you. I love you guys. You know, if you need me, I'm here. Give me a call. Shoot us a line on the chat, whatever. There's a million ways to get in touch with me. Nail a note on the door if you need to. Just don't flounder by yourself. We're here for you. Have a great week. God bless you. Brother Joey, would you close us? Peace. I'm out.
Father, we thank you so much this morning for giving us that sure and secure anchor. God, I just pray that as we leave out of here, that we would all keep that in mind and all the storms, all the troubles and trials that come our way, Lord, that first of all, they don't last, but second of all, that you're with us. God, I pray that we would cling to you, that we would run to you, that we would try to bring others to you. God, I pray that you would keep us all safe this week, keep us all in your word, and that we would know that we can pray always about whatever it is we might be going through. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.